Okay, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, we have... actually began before in chapter 22, where David had begun to prepare to build the temple. But in chapter 23, we have the division of the Leva'im. And then in chapter 24, we have the division of the Kohanim. And then it goes back in chapter 24 to the Leva'im. It's going to further divide them with the, and specifically the musicians and the gatekeepers, the treasuries and other duties, which are all going to be Levitical jobs. Now, remember that I told you the number from 1 to 3? The 1 to 3 is going to be, number 1, the Kohanim. Number 2 is the Leva'im. And number 3 is the men of Israel. And we see exactly that same setup in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 10 through 12, those verses that I had told you to mark. We'll read those again in a little bit. But we have here where David divided the Kohanim. Now, before we look at 1 Chronicles in chapter 23, I want to turn over and... pick up out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, just a couple verses, and then Dale, I want you to mention what you had said before. I want to see where David divided the priest and the Kohanim, the priest and the Leva'im into these divisions, that it didn't come from David. That's an important point, that it did not come from David. In verse 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, it says, "Then David gave his son Shlomo the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit." So, it, specifically, that it came from God. And we're told of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasures of the house of God, of the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the division of the Kohanim and the Leva'im. So it didn't come from David. It came from God to David, and David gave it to Solomon. And it goes on for all the work of the Avodah, the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service, the Kelim, in the house of the Lord. And then it goes on about each thing was measured by gold or by silver as to how they were to be constructed, weight-wise, and so forth. Every bit of that came from God. And let's drop down to the 19th verse. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans." So it was even written down at one point. We don't have that at this time. But that's what was delivered to King Solomon. It definitely came forth from God. It was not the invention of men. And I don't care. You go into studying this, you're going to come across that David did this, and David did that, and David did this, and it'll leave you with the impression that it was David's design. And what I want to bring out is that it was totally God's design. So let's go back over to chapter 23, and let's look at the division of the Leva'im, as that's been the topic of what we've been talking about. We'll start with them and then proceed to the Kohanim and then discuss how the men of Israel come in. "So when David was old and full of days, he made his son Shlomo king over Israel, and he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the Kohanim and the Leva'im. Now the Leva'im were numbered from the age of 30 years and above," which we remember was different from when they were in the wilderness. That was from 20 and above. But now they have a much larger service to fulfill. "And the number of the individual males was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. So you'll note, number one, is that we have several jobs that are mentioned. Let's list them off. We have the 24,000 are for general work in the temple. You have 6,000 that are going to be as officers in the temple and judges. We don't have how that's broken down, which were judges and which were officers, but 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments. So you have your gatekeepers and your musical instruments. Which I made, said David, for giving praise. And David divided them into divisions among the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, of the Gershonites, Ladan, and Shimei, the sons of Ladan, the first, Yahiel, then Zetam, and Yoel, three in all, the sons of Shimei, Shelomit, Haziel, and Haran, three in all. These were the heads of the father's houses of Ladan, and the sons of Shimei, Yahat, Zina, Yeush, and Beriah. These were the four sons of Shimei. Yahat was the first, and Zizah the second, but Yeush and Beriah did not have many sons, therefore they were assigned as one father's house. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, four in all. The sons of Amram, Aaron, and Moshe, and Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever. Okay, so that's going to apply specifically to Kohanim. Now the sons of Moshe, the man of God, were reckoned to the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moshe were Gershon and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershon, Shavuel was the first, the descendants of Eleazar. Rehabiah was the first, and Eleazar had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelomit was the first, the sons of Hebron, Uriah was the first, Amora the second, Yahaziel the third, and Yekamim the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micha was the first, and Yeshia the second. The sons of Miriam were Machli and Mushi. The sons of Machli were Eleazar and Kish. And Eleazar died and had no sons, but only daughters. And their brothers, the sons of Kish, took them as wives. The sons of Mushi were Machli and Eder and Yermoth, three in all. These were the sons of Levi, by their father's houses, the heads of the father's houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years old, 20 years and above. For David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. Now in your notes, please put 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 24. And also to the Levi'im, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. For by the last words of David, the Levi'im were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the Avodah, the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine flour for the grain offering, and with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. And in every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the set festivals, by number according to the ordinance governing them, regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord. Now let's drop down to verse 20 of chapter 24. Now the rest of the sons of Levi, of the sons of Aaron, Shabael, of the sons of Shubael, Yehdiah, concerning Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Ishia, the sons of Isarites, Shelomot, of the sons of Shelomot, Yahat, of the sons of Hebron, Uriah was the first, Amariah the second, Yahaziel the third, and Yekamim the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shamir, the brother of Micah,
Isiah of the sons of Isiah, Zechariah. The sons of Miriam were Bakli and Mushi, the sons of Yahaziah, Bino. The sons of Miriam by Yahaziah were Bino, Shoham, Zachor, and Ivri. Of Bakli, Eleazar, who had no sons of Kish, the sons of Kish, Yerbeel, also the sons of Mushi, were Bakli, Eder, and Yeremot. These were the sons of the Levi'im according to their fathers' houses. Again, please mark 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 30 in your notes. These also cast lots, just as their brothers, the sons of Aaron, did in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the Kohanim and Levi'im. The chief fathers did just as their younger brethren. Okay, now you know that they cast lots. Okay, the casting of lots will be for what will be their service in the house of the Lord. In other words, their jobs will be determined by casting lots before the Lord. Now there is biblically the casting of lots as opposed to that which is done in paganism. Okay? In other words, by the casting of lots, they would ask who are to be separated for the service of the gatekeepers. And they would cast the lots on each of the families, and then the ones that came up, yes, for those families, they became the gatekeepers. And then likewise for the musicians and so forth. Okay?
Which meant that all of them had the same qualifications. Therefore, anyone, it didn't matter, could perform that job.
That's right.
Until it was assigned by lot.
That's correct. Until it was assigned by lot. However, now, we have the impression here that it is from the time of Moshe, the establishment of the priesthood back at Mount Sinai, we have the impression when we read the scripture that they were not divided into courses or divisions until this point. However, the Jewish teaching on this is that it started way back in Mount Sinai, and it was expanded here with King David. Okay, that is found in the Talmud. The Levites and the priest. Okay, but
weren't the Kohanim separated back under Moses into two groups of eight?
That's correct. They were separated by Moses. Where it's discussed, there are several different opinions about what was happening, but the place that is discussed in the Talmud is in the Tractate Tanit. The Tractate Tanit is part of the order Moed, which deals with the festivals. And it's in Tanit 27a of the Babylonian Talmud. Let me read this to you. I printed out Tanit 27a. The following are the details concerning the Ma'amadot, because it is said, command the children of Israel, etc. What does this Mishnah mean to say? This is what it means to say. The following are the details concerning the Ma'amadot, and why were the Ma'amadot instituted? Because it is said, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my food which is presented unto me, how can a man's offering be brought on the altar, and he is not present? Therefore, the earlier prophets instituted 24 Mishmarot. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, the divisions. Each Mishmar, or division, was represented at the Temple of Jerusalem by its own Ma'amad, a priest, Levites, and Israelites. When the time came for the Mishmar to go up, the priests and Levites went up to Jerusalem. Let me see. I need to find where it talks about I'll tell you what. Rather than read all of
27a, which is about 4 or 5 pages to you. I'm going to read a real, very condensed thing of what's going on here. Okay, there are 3 different theories as to the origins of the Mishmor system, of the divisions. The first is that Moses established 8 priestly Mishmorot, which is what you've just said, to which David and Samuel added another 8. Finally, the return from the Babylonian exile, 24 were established. Now, that would contradict what we're reading here, because here we're saying 24 being established by David, which precedes the Babylonian exile. The second is that Moses established 8 priestly and Levitical Mishmarot. David and Samuel increased them to 24. And on the return from the exile, 24 Israelite, and I'm going to give you another term, the Amudim, A-M-M-U-D-I-M, which is a term, a synonym for the Ma'amadot, that there were 24 Amudim were established parallel to the priestly and Levitical Mishmorot. The third theory is that Moses established 16 Mishmorot, which were later increased to 24. Relative unanimity of opinion is to be found only in the account of the restoration of the Mishmor system after the Babylonian exile. I'm not going to get into that yet, okay? But there are 3 different theories, but there is a general consensus that Moses had established at least 8, that there were 8 original divisions, and then this was expanded at a later period. Biblically, we have that it was expanded at the time of King David. Okay, before I get into specifics of the musicians and so forth, let me give you some basic information. Daryl, why don't you cut it off for the train that's coming? Okay. Mitch, you had a question.
Why 8 courses? What's the significance of, what would be the significance of 8 courses?
Okay. And back at the time of the tabernacle, so that you could have a rotation of services. You have more priests or more Levites than would be necessary to perform all the daily functions. And by dividing them up into a rotation system, then, number one, you have the benefit of them being able to fulfill other parts of their responsibilities to teach all the people, even when they're in the wilderness, to disperse themselves throughout the camp and teach while there's a continual service going on in the temple. And then they'll each have that time, or in the tabernacle, they each have their time to rotate into those jobs there. But to have 24 divisions at that point in their history, when the population was much smaller and they were all very confined, kept together, there was no need. Likewise, your Leviim at that time started their service at 20 years old. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, they start their service at 30 years old. And did I say that backwards? Did they start their service at 30 years old? Yeah, 30 years old in the once they start the temple period. Before it was 20 years old. Okay, somebody will look it up. I believe that that's correct. But they're dealing with many, many more people. And as we get up, we also have to remember that in the time of the judges, when they come over and they cross over into the land, the nation is not very intact. They have no military. They don't even have a militia.
They are rivaling tribes. They at times even begin to battle against each other. There is no centrality to the government and so forth. Everything is a loose-knit clan system. Once they have the monarchy established, during the time of King Saul, it's a very small monarchy. The kingdom is establishing itself. It's not until David the Conqueror extends the kingdom to its greatest borders. And of course, this would also be during the time of Solomon, that those same borders were maintained. They go all the way up into modern-day Syria. They go way into Lebanon. They go south in towards into the Sinai Peninsula. And they occupy a tremendous amount of present-day Jordan. And it's during that period that the country is divided into 24 regions. And so you have 24 courses that will be, number one, to have divisions of courses in each of the territories, each of the different regions, districts, to instruct, teach the people throughout the year. And also, as was mentioned, that you have the 48 weeks in the year, but with the festivals added to this, when all the priests would be present, it gives you a rotation to where that there will always be those in the temple each week serving. But at the same time, you have a very active priesthood, active Levi'im among the people where they are. And so I would say that those are the main reasons, not to say that they are the only reasons, but the main reasons. Now, what we're talking about, and I think that I have not firmly established exactly what's being referred here, is that certainly from the time of King David, and it's implied that from before this, that the people are going to be divided up into these three groups or groupings to serve in the temple and to serve among the people. The concept of coming to the temple is to draw near to God, and number two, to present yourself before the Lord. In fact, that's the term that is used in the pilgrimage festivals, that when you come to present yourself before the Lord, when one is presenting themselves before the Lord, then you have these three categories, the Kohanim, that are going to present themselves before the Lord and serve before the Lord in a certain capacity within the temple. Your second group is the Levi'im. And your third group is going to be Israel. Now, all of this, all three of these together, we would call a ma'amad. Okay? All three of those together are singular, a ma'amad. Each of these are ma'amadot. Okay? However, the term, the ma'amad also took on a second meaning. The second meaning is specifically the people of Israel. Its greater meaning is all three, speaking of Kohanim, Levi'im, and Israel. But if you referred to the ma'amad on duty, you wouldn't be referring to the Kohanim and the Levi'im. You would be referring to the lay people of Israel. Questions? That might be confusing, so if you have a question, ask it.
You said the people on duty.
Yes, I'm talking about each week there are going to be people coming to the temple. All the people coming to the temple are called the ma'amad. All right? But that is a collective term for all three of these. But usually when you say the ma'amad,
you aren't referring to the Kohanim and the Leva'im. They have another term for them. They are the Mishmarot. Okay? They're the divisions. Generally, when you use the term Ma'amad, you're referring to the lay people that will come. Okay? Now, when I say the lay people that are coming, that means the delegation that is appointed to be in the temple at that time. Okay? Let's say that you just own a gander, want to go up to the temple. That doesn't make you a part of the Ma'amad. You can join with them, but the Ma'amad are the appointed people that will be coming to the temple. And their job is to be there at certain times for certain prayers. They are going to represent when the Kohanim that are there in the temple, and they are there at those times, they're going to be representing all the Kohanim. And the Leva'im that are on duty in the temple at those times are representing all the Leva'im, even though all the Leva'im aren't there. And the Ma'amad, the lay people of Israel that are there, they are representing all of the people of Israel at that time. So that there is a continual presence of these three categories presenting themselves before the Lord every day. There's a continual presence of Kohanim, Leva'im, and lay people presenting themselves before God every day for the prayers to be offered up to the Lord. The establishment of the 24 priestly courses and the order of their service, as we have described here in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 through 27, were meant to be a permanent arrangement. Let me repeat that. That was meant to be a permanent arrangement. The term Mishmar and Mishmarot is referring specifically to the Kohanim and the Leva'im. It does not refer to the lay people. All 24 Mishmarot of both the Kohanim and the Leva'im are required to be on duty during the three pilgrimage festivals.
Joe, the Kohanim, they're broken up into the Mishmarot, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, the Leva'im broken up into Mishmarot.
That's correct.
All right. What about Israel? Are they broken up?
Yes, they are broken up, but they are not called Mishmarot.
You still have 24 divisions.
Yes. Okay. Where the Ma'amad come from? Is that Solomon divided the kingdom up into 24 districts. Okay, each district had a delegation that went to the temple at their appointed time. And so, now, as to how that the people were selected to be able to go, I can't answer that at this point. I don't know how the lay people were selected to be a part of the Ma'amad. I'm researching that. I'm trying to get more and more information on it. I found out quite a few things so far. There's a term for the head of the Ma'amad called the Mumukan. And he had certain jobs and responsibilities, but I still do not know how it was selected who would be a part of the Ma'amad. Yes, Del?
Do you have a source on everyone was required to come up to the Pilgrimage Festival. All of them were to serve at that time. Is that in Malay or where is that?
It's in Sukkah 5, 7 through 8. Uh-huh. Let's go ahead and turn it.